CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Pull up that easy chair and sit right down
for the best music in your town. On
the next Wayback Country Jamboree. Coming up next on CFRC 119 FM.
35, another 50, now 60, we'll give me 60, now 75, 75, another 85, all of a sudden I'm there.
There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma.
Just walk on by.
Wait on the corner.
I love you, but we're strangers. When we need
one answer, hang up the phone.
Don't take a chance. Please don't ask for me.
Morning, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree. Yes, this here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, and for the next 3 hours, I'd like to invite y'all in to a birthday celebration to the 95th birthday of none other than the auctioneer of country music, Leroy Van Dyke. So sit back, relax, or hey, just get your auction numbers out as we pay tribute to a true pioneer of country music on what marks his 95th birthday weekend. Welcome in, friends.
Big man in a big house. With acres and acres of ground, I'll be eight by the number, troubles by the score. Every day you love me less, each day I love you more.
Give me 55, make it a 55, a bit of 55, I sold that home for the $50 bill. Hey, well, all right, sir, open the gate and let them out and walk them, boys. Here we come, a lot number 29 in. What are they going to give for them? I'm a 25, to get 35, another 50, make a 50, bit of long, 50, now 60, we'll give them 60, now 75, now 85, now 95, 100, now 25, now 50, 75, now 2, now 3, now 4, now 5, now 6, now 7, now $800 on the bottom there.
Morning, friends and listeners of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show. Yes, this here is your old host with the most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, here on CFRC 119 FM. Coming to you from the Woodlock Ranch and Studios, as always, located in Cornwall, Ontario, but also being proudly broadcast over historic CFRC 119 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario. Once again, I would like to share that this morning, I'd like to invite y'all in to a 95th birthday celebration to the life and the career of none other than the original auctioneer and only auctioneer of country music, Mr. Leroy Van Dyke, our living hero of country music and pioneer, who will forever be remembered as, yes, the auctioneer. Now, before we begin the show, I would also like to share that Leroy was born Leroy Frank Van Dyke on October 4th in 1929 in Missouri, around the area of Mora, Missouri. He rose to stardom in 1956 with the all-time classic that he self-penned titled The Auctioneer, which was a tribute to his cousin Ray Sims, livestock auctioneer in Missouri. Leroy has also had great success with Walk On By, If a Woman Answers, and many more. It should be mentioned that Walk On By was named the biggest selling single in all country music history by Billboard magazine. Today, he is still performing and tours regularly, and is the leader of the Country Gold Package Tour. So I'd like to, along with y'all, my listeners, today, celebrate what marks the 95th birthday of the legendary Leroy Van Dyke. So as we begin this program this morning, let's salute Mo Bandy in a classic titled Take Me Back to Yesterday. Then we'll follow with a live version of Leroy Van Dyke's all-time signature song, The Auctioneer. With that, I'd like to wish Leroy a very happy 95th birthday. Welcome in, friends, and good morning to my listeners.
Lord, I love to hear Hank Williams sing. And there's a lot of lefties now with different names. But it'll never be the way it was before. Take me back to yesterday. once more. How I miss old Texas, those days were good. And nobody else could sing like Jim Reeves could. Red Foley's gospel songs touch my heart. Take me back to yesterday once more. When they sang, your cheating heart, it always lay. And there'll be peace in the valley someday. High noon, rye whiskey, four walls too near me. Take me back to yesterday once more. Johnny Harton sang a country song so fine. And there'll never be another Patsy Cline. And how I miss Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys. Take me back to yesterday once more. When they sang, your cheating heart, and always lay. And there'll be peace in the valley someday. North to Alaska, crazy San Antonio Rose. Take me back to yesterday once more. Take me back to yesterday once more.
Please welcome the auctioneer, ladies and gentlemen, Leroy Van Dyke.
Hey, boy, right through here, go there, and what are we going to get for? I'm 25 to get 30 now, 500 bid to 5 and a 40 now, 500 bid to 5 and a 50 now, 500 bid to 5 and a $50 on the buy there. There was a boy in Arkansas who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn. He'd stand there to listen carefully, then pretty soon he began to see how the auctioneer could talk so rapidly. He said, oh my, it's do or die, got to learn that auction cry, gotta make my mark and be an auctioneer. $25 bidder now, $30 30 bidder, give me 30, make it 30 bidder, mama, $30 bidder, give me 30, hooter bidder, $30 bid. $30 bidder now, $35 bidder, give me 35 to make it 35 to make it 35, who would have bidder now, $35 bid. As time went on, he did his best, and all could see he didn't jest, he practiced calling bids both night and day. His pap would find him behind the barn, just working up an awful storm as he tried to imitate the auctioneer. Then his pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man selling things at auction using our good name. I'll send you off to auction school, then you'll be nobody's fool. You can take your place among the best. $35 bidder now, the $40, 40 bidder, give me 40, make it 40 bidder, now the $40 bidder, give me 40, hooray, bidder, $40 bid. $40 bidder now, $45, would they give me $45 to make it a $45, make it a $45, who would have bidder now, the $45 bid. So from that boy who went to school, there grew a man who played it cool. He came back home a full-fledged auctioneer. Then the people came from miles around to hear him make that rhythmic sound that filled their hearts with such a happy cheer. His fame spread out from shore to shore. He had all he could do and more. Had to buy a plane to get around. Now he's the tops in all the land. Let Paul give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. $45 bidder now, the $50, 50 bidder, give me 50, make it 50 bidder, all the $50 bidder, give me 50, $50 bill. $50 bidder now, 55 bidder, give me 55, make it a 55, 55, 55, sold that goat for a $50 bill. Hey,
give it all right, sir. Open the gate and let him out and walk him. Here come a lot number 29 in. What are they gonna give? I'm at $600 down here and a 10 and a 25 and a 35 and a 50, 60, 75, 85 and a 7 and a 10 and a 25 and a 35, 50, 60, 75, 85 and a 8 and a 5.
Yes, friends, once again, we're back here on the Way Back Country Jamboree, and as we get the show off to a great start here this morning, I'd like to send out some special dedications, first of all, for my beloved Mama Dawn. For her today, it'll be an all-time classic by the singing cowboy hero, Gene Autry, who was also an early influence to Leroy Van Dyke in a classic version of You Are My Sunshine. Then we'll follow with a birthday song going out to Big Daddy Al, who celebrates his birthday this coming Tuesday, the 8th of October. So for Big Daddy Al, who likes Johnny Cash a lot, it'll be a classic titled The Baron. And then we'll wrap up this set with a song going out to my late partner in life and longtime friend, Miss Velma LaPointe, who will also be remembered by Miss Jenny by many of our listeners. It'll be Webb Pierce, the wandering boy of country music, and a song simply titled I Miss the Little Things. With that, I would like to say good morning to my friends and happy Sunday to everybody listening in on CFRC 101.9 FM.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. I'll always love you and make you happy if you will only say the same. But if you leave me to love another, you'll regret it all someday. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. You told me once, dear, you really loved me, and no one else, dear, could come between. But now you've left me and love another. You have shattered all my dreams. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
If I hadn't known you longer, you might be a little stronger.
Maybe you'd shoot straighter than you do. Maybe you'd shoot straighter than you do. As he walked into the pool room, you could tell he didn't fit. In his handmade boots, custom suit, pearl-handled shooting stick. Tonight there'd be a showdown. Then everyone would know who shoots the meanest game around, the Baron or Billy Joe. Billy Joe looked edgy, about to lose his cool. But the Baron's hands were steady as the two began to duel. Yeah, he was like a general on a battlefield of slate. And he would say to Billy Joe, each time he sunk the eight, he'd say,
I wish I had known you when you were a little younger.
Round me you might have learned a thing or two.
If I had known you longer, you might be a little stronger.
Maybe you'd shoot straighter than you do. baby, you'd shoot straighter than you do. Now Billy Joe was busted, but he hadn't felt a sting. And from the far end of the table, he threw his mother's wedding ring. And he said, "You won my money, but it ain't gonna do the trick. I'll bet this ring on one more game against your fancy stick." The Baron's eyes got foggy as the ring rolled on the felt, and he almost doubled over like he was hit below the belt. 20 years ago, it was the ring his wife had worn, and he didn't know before he left that a son would soon be born. Sounded just like thunder when the Baron shot the break, but it grew quickly quiet as he lined up the eight. Then a warm hand touched his shoulder, and it chilled him to the bone when he turned and saw the woman who had loved him for so long. The game was never finished. The eight ball never fell. The Baron calmly picked it up and put it on the shelf. Then he placed the ring in the hands that held him long ago, and he tossed that fancy shooting stick to his son, Billy Joe. And he said, "Well, I wish I had known you when you were a little younger. Round me you might have learned a thing or two. If I had known you longer, you might be a little stronger. Maybe you'd shoot straighter than you do. Maybe you'd shoot straighter than you do."
Most of all, I miss you. coffee, then I'll go.
Hi, folks. My name's Claude Gray, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock here on the Wayback Country Jamboree. I'll just have a cup of coffee, and then I'll go. Thank you.
Make my cup of coffee sweet and make it warm, just the way you used to be inside my.
Yes, friends, following those classic dedications, we're back here on the Wayback Country Jamboree and Morning Show, and as we begin the trip up to the Ottawa Valley for this Sunday morning, I'd also like to just congratulate all last weekend's great inductees to the Country Music Hall of Fame of 2024. With that mentioned, I would like to send out some special songs today. First of all, for my dear friends who are just like family, Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret Chbisky in Eganville, Ontario. For them today, it'll be a classic by the legendary Family Brown with Barry Brown on lead, titled RR Number 2. Then we'll follow with another classic going out to my dear friends and radio mentors and inspirations in radio who live in Arm Prior, Ontario, Vic and Linda May Garbutt of Valley Heritage Radio. For them today, it'll be the legendary Canadian Plowboy, none other than Orville Prophet, and a classic titled Paper Rosie. Then we'll wrap up this set with an all-time favorite by the storyteller of the Ottawa Valley, Mr. Wayne Rostad, and a classic titled The Watchman. With that, I hope y'all enjoyed this week's salute to the mighty Ottawa Valley and their second home here at the Wayback Country Jamboree. Good morning, friends, and as they say in the Valley, good day to my Valley listeners.
Little village where I lived and grew has been renamed to our number two. Small dot on the map is gone. How's anyone to know where he belongs? It's sad to see the small towns disappear. Why must they change a place we hold so dear? The little church where I knelt to pray has closed its doors forever, so they say. Oh, I can't believe God's moved 10 miles away. An old man walks across the fertile land and worries about the new highway that's planned. And he recalls when he was just a lad, how hard he worked to clear the land with his dad. From the schoolyard there isn't any sound, for a school bus takes the kids to a larger town. And the old folks wonder where the money goes. There's nothing left for the government to close. It's sad to see the small towns disappear. Why must they change a place we hold so dear? Little church where I knelt to pray has closed its doors forever, so they say. Oh, I can't believe God's moved 10 miles away. The church bell now rings its death toll, and the topsoil blows up the land. And a school flag flies at half mast, and the old folks long for the past. It's sad to see the small towns disappear. Why must they change a place we hold so dear? The little church where I knelt to pray has closed its doors forever, so they say. Oh, I can't believe God's moved 10 miles away. No, I can't believe God's moved 10 miles away.
Goes down
the neon lights from an old beer sign shone through the window out on the sidewalk. As I walked in to pass the time, I looked around, sat down at a table, ordered beef on rye and a glass of wine, and through the door came a little old lady. She was selling paper roses, and they only cost a dime. Nature's okay. Help a little old lady buy a rose today. I took the rose from her trembling hand with eyes of age.
The pain. puts tomorrow on the line every time he pours the wine. But good and gone is where he really wants to be. So tonight, when they close the Shadow Pearson Hotel, he'll be the last one to close the tavern door. He'll wander down the tracks to his trailer home shack that's parked down the Dalton School Edge. Once was a time he had a future in mind. It was filled with your everyday dreams. But when the dreamer in him died, the bottle became his bride. He was when he was blessed with alcohol. Tonight, when they close the Shadow Pearson Hotel, he'll be the last one to close the tavern door. He'll wander down the tracks to his trailer home shack that's parked down. Just down the tracks in a trailer home shack sits the watchman at Dalton's Village.
You and I are stereo.
Hello, everybody. This is Gloria Ann Carrier Prophet, and you are listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Jamboree every Sunday for the best in traditional country music.
Cause when it comes to making music, darling, don't you know you and I are stereo.
Now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to welcome our very special guest of honor onto the Wayback Country Jamboree in a interview blast from the past. Now, this first interview of three that we will hear today is a special interview that dates back to my first interview visit with the auctioneer of country music, Leroy Van Dyke, from 2018, when I did my first interview with him. Now, this will give an insight to the first of many visits that me and Leroy did over the years and continue to do. And I do hope y'all enjoy this very first interview with Leroy, as mentioned, from 2018. Following this, we will hear a rare song titled Mr. Professor, which is a very sensitive song in many ways to the learning world of education. But I do hope y'all enjoy it despite the sensitivity of it. And so with that mentioned, here's our dear friend and a true interview blast from the past from 2018 with Mr. Leroy Van Dyke.
Born in 1929 during the Great Depression in Mora, Missouri, what are your earliest musical memories as a child?
Oh, I don't remember too much about it. Like most kids that grew up in the country, we sang in school. I went to a one-room country school, and we had musical programs at school. I guess that would be probably the first memories.
Okay. And who influenced you during the early days?
Probably Gene Autry.
Okay.
We didn't have electricity out in the country, and every morning at 6 o'clock, my dad would turn on the battery-powered radio that carried transcriptions of Gene Autry, and I'd wake to the strains of Back in the Saddle Again at 6 o'clock every morning.
So your first big hit came in 1956?
Yes.
And was your signature song, The Auctioneer. Would you please tell us the story behind The Auctioneer?
Well, I went to auctioneer school between my junior and senior years of college.
Okay.
And the inspiration inspiration came from a cousin of mine named Ray Sims, who was generally regarded as the best purebred livestock auctioneer in the business.
Okay, sure.
He grew up in the same county that I did in Missouri.
Okay.
And then later on, after I got out of college, I spent some time in the U.S. Army. A year of that was in Korea.
Yes.
While I was there, the words and the music to the song started coming to me, and so I put it down and recorded it so I wouldn't forget it.
Sure.
And that's where it came from.
Okay. And I've heard a story that it was coming to you now and then, but you didn't quite write it at the first time it came to you.
Well, I didn't realize what was happening, but the words and music just come to mind. It just seemed like they came out of the air to me, and I ignored it for the first several times it came to me, and finally I decided somebody's trying to tell me something. So
yes.
I went back to my tent and wrote it down.
So may I ask about two of my favorite early songs of yours?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, it was from 1950s and was Leather Jacket, and the other one is Anne of a Thousand Days.
Leather Jacket was, I was with Dot Records, and they try to categorize, most record companies try to categorize their performers, and they didn't know what to do with me because Auctioneer didn't fit the mold or the pigeonhole of any songs they'd ever had. Some of them thought it was just a novelty song. It was. Some of them thought it was a pop song. Actually, there was neither of those.
Okay.
It was a story song, a country song, a story song that told a true story of a man's life.
Yeah.
And then when it came time that they thought they might put out a CD, well, back then it was LPs.
Yes.
They tried to make me sound like Elvis Presley. They tried to make me sound like Pat Boone. And they tried to make me sound like everybody but myself.
Okay.
And they recorded me on Leather Jacket, which I never did sing on stage.
No, okay.
But it got to be a sort of a cult hit in some countries. In Germany, it was a cult hit, but I never did sing the song on stage.
No, okay.
Anne of a Thousand Days came along a good many years after that, and we were looking for songs to record to follow up on some fairly successful songs we'd had on record, and the man that worked with me putting together my live show said, look, I'm going to go home tonight and write the cheating song of all time. Triangle song of all time. So he went home that night and wrote Anne of a Thousand Days, a kind of a takeoff on British royalty.
Sure. And you served in the Korean War, as you were saying.
Yes.
After returning home from the Korean War, you joined the Ozark Jubilee with Red Foley. What was Red like?
Well, it was a great experience for me because Red Foley was recognized as one of the great vocalists of country music back then. He not only could sing a song, but he could sing it with authority.
Okay.
And he had a big following. He had been a member of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, sang very, very well, and it was a great pleasure and a privilege for me to work the show with him for a couple of reasons. One, to study his style, how he reacted with the audience, or how they reacted to him.
Sure.
And another thing that was a great benefit to me was because it was television, live, and not recorded. So I had to learn to do the song or whatever I was doing. I had to learn to do it right the first time without any retakes or without any mistake. I never forgot the words to a song.
No.
I never did make a mistake.
Okay, sure. So it was a different time and place back then.
Oh, yeah. Today, they go in, they don't care whether you make a mistake or not. You go in and do the song. If you make a mistake, they just push a button and say, take two.
Exactly, yes.
But back then, the way we did it on that show was live to the network, and if we made a mistake, that's the way you saw it and heard it in your living room at home.
Okay, sure.
Really, so it gave me a chance to study Red Foley. It gave me a chance to help learn to do it right the first time and to get experience in live television.
Did you witness any of his harder living in those days?
Well, the only time I saw Red was in a professional standpoint.
Okay.
We worked some road shows.
Okay.
I never saw him socially, but we worked some shows on the road, traveling, and of course doing the TV shows. That's the only time I ever saw him.
Sure, sure. So you also starred in the 1967 movie What Am I Bid?
Yes.
What do you recall about doing this movie?
Well, what would you like to know about it? I remember about everything.
Do you? Yes. It was based on your cousin, was it not?
Not necessarily. There were some elements of the movie that were true to life of some of the things that I did or some of the things that my cousin did, but it was not a biographical movie. They just took some of the ideas that I had experienced growing up and getting into show business, but I did not play Leroy Van Dyke.
No,
I played a fictitious character.
Yes, yes.
And the other thing was that we had control of the casting and the script.
Okay.
And it was kind of a thank you to some of the people that helped me earlier in my career. The first person to ever book me on a tour of one-nighters was Tex Ritter.
Okay,
so
yes.
Put him in the movie.
Sure.
Ray Sims, the auctioneer, the real guy, was good to me because of his inspiration in the auction business, so we put him in there. Farron Young was the first Grand Ole Opry star to ever put me on a road show.
Okay.
So it was a kind of a thank you deal. Al Hurt was the first one to take me to the French Quarter in New Orleans.
Okay.
And so he was very, very good to me. I went in there for 2 weeks and stayed for five and then worked at another time or two, his nightclub in the French Quarter. So it was a thank you type thing.
And could you tell us the story about opening for Miss Marilyn Monroe?
I was in Korea, and the assistant regimental commander was a colonel, came down to my tent one day, and he said, I'd like for you to ask if you'd do me a favor. And I said, well, I will if I can. What would you like me to do? And he said, well, we have a USO show coming in, bringing the show in for the troops. And we'd like for you to do about 15 minutes to open the show. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And then I said, by the way, who's coming in? And it was a USO show headed up by Marilyn Monroe. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You want me to go out in front of 30,000 sex-starved GIs and try to entertain them knowing that they're waiting to see Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah.
But it worked very well. She was nice to me, and the audience was nice to me, and it was it went down in history, I guess, as the only country performer to ever open a show for Marilyn Monroe.
And what was she like to be around?
Well, I wasn't around her very long, just backstage just to say hello and waiting for her to go on stage.
Sure.
She was very, very friendly to me, very, very congenial.
Okay.
And she was a good performer. She came out there in a not very warm dress, and it was cold and snowing. She walked right out there with bare shoulders and sang her songs.
Okay.
And she didn't back off from anything. She did her job and really entertained the troops.
Sure, sure. So being a true pioneer of country music, I must ask the next question, and that is, what is your opinion on modern country music?
Well, it's not the kind of country music I grew up with. In our music, in what I call classic country music, you can understand every word, and the vocal is the main element of the song that tells the story. Today's music is just pretty much noise.
Yes. Okay, sure. And being a country music radio host, I get asked the next question a lot, and that is, what is my favorite line in a country song? And I have to tell them that it's your opening line to Leroy Van Dyke's If a Woman Answers. It's an amazing line.
It is. I don't know whether you know this, but Rush Limbaugh said a few weeks ago, he played If a Woman Answers in its entirety, and he said, here is the Bill Clinton theme song.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. How did you come to record If a Woman Answers?
Well, we'd had a good run of success with Walk On By, Wait on the Corner.
Yes.
It went to the top of the charts. They stayed at number one for 19 weeks and actually stayed in the charts for 42 weeks. So it came time to try to find a follow-up for that hit, which became, according to Billboard magazine, the biggest country single of all time, based on sales and number of plays and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So we couldn't find anything in Nashville. We visited all the songwriters and all the publishing companies, and finally Shelby Singleton, who was my producer at the time, he also had an office in New York and Chicago. He had three offices, Nashville, New York, and Chicago. So he flew to New York and called on a songwriting team who one of their specialties was custom writing to suit for a follow-up for a specific artist. So they sent them a copy of a Walk On By.
Okay.
And said, we need a follow-up for this recording. So they took it, and it's the same structure, the same length of song, a similar beat, and a similar idea. And that's where it came from. It was a custom-written song to follow up Walk On By.
Sure, sure. And it's one of our favorites here at the Wayback Country Jamboree.
Well, thank you.
And I must tell you that I have waited my whole life to meet you, so today is a real treasure to be talking to you. And when can we look forward to being up here near Ottawa, Ontario again?
I don't know. I've played that part of Canada several times, but I haven't been in there for a while. There's some discussion about bringing our show in.
Okay.
later on this year, but we don't know that for sure.
Okay,
it's
sure.
It's kind of a complicated process of coming up there with all of the taxes and and permits that you have to get. It's almost not worth coming. I like to see the fans. I got a lot of fans across Canada, but it's an awful lot of work to get up there and get back with all the paperwork.
And I'd like to ask you about your Arabian mules.
What would you like to know about them?
How did you get into the mule business?
I grew up on a ranch in the central part of the state of Missouri, and we grew up and we used mules for practically everything we did on the farm. We cultivated corn, we planted corn, we plowed, we mowed hay, we raked hay, we fed cattle in the wintertime, hauled feed out to the cattle and hogs with mules and wagons.
Okay.
So I always liked mules, and then about 20 or 25 years ago, we had some Arabian horses, so we learned that there was a market for high-quality mules for riding or flat-track racing or endurance racing or packing up in the mountains for fishing trips or hunting trips and that sort of thing. So we started, we already had some Arabian horses, and so we started buying mammoth jacks with the male donkeys to breed these mares. And so for a good many years, we produced quite a few mules. We don't have any on hand right now because somebody came in from Central America and bought every mule we had.
Oh, did they? Okay. And I have donkeys on my ranch up here. Mm-hmm. And how do they differ from a mule?
Well, of course, they're one half of the cross. They impart sort of a very deep intelligence to the mule. Donkeys are very intelligent animals.
They are, yes.
They're very affectionate. They lack a lot of attention, and they're very, very tough.
Yes.
So they impart a lot of those qualities to the genetics of the mule.
Okay, sure. And another one of my questions for today is another one of my favorite songs of yours is a song called Mr. Professor.
Yeah.
Which really speaks to me, especially nowadays. How did you come to record this one?
Well, you can probably imagine why, because it fit the times.
Yes.
When that song came along, there were a lot of things going on in the colleges and universities in North America, demonstrations and tearing things up and starting riots and starting fires and attacking police and everything else.
Just
and
like today.
And the college professors didn't do anything to discourage it.
No, okay.
And so I think Harvin Howard wrote the song.
Okay, sure.
And his message was just teach these students what they need to know to be successful in life and quit trying to influence them to the point where they destroy property and start riots.
Exactly, yes. So I guess my last question for today is how would you like to be remembered?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question. I don't really know. I guess maybe I'd say I hope that I'd be remembered as being professional, dependable. I never ever missed a show, no matter how deep the snow got or what kind of problems we had. We didn't take no for an answer. We always managed to get there no matter what the weather was or what kind of problems we might have had. We were always honest in all of our dealings with everybody, and I guess that's the way I'd like to be remembered.
And we'll also remember you for your wonderful music, Mr. Leroy.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you. Tell all your fans we said hello.
I sure will, Leroy, and thank you for talking to us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Professor, you're well educated, I know. But some things you quote to our youngsters has troubled me so. They're under your influence, so hear my cry in the night. And if you go changing the good kids we sent you, be sure that you're right. On the subject of God, if you have any doubts, don't discuss them. For a teacher should teach, and a preacher should preach, not betraying the people who trust them. We sent you a good Christian boy, and he knows right from wrong. Beware of the danger, don't send us a stranger back home. Now if you look down with a cynical frown on us poor working slobs,
then all I can say is the taxes we pay created your jobs. Don't turn our kids loose on the world with a messed up mind. Just help them with learning, not marching and burning, and we'll like it fine. I've heard that you tell kids to run from the draft if they can. Well, his dad didn't run, and if he's daddy's son, he'll handle his fate like a man. So don't build a wall between them and the people outside. For life's what it is, make them men, not cowards that run and hide. Beware of the danger, don't send us a stranger back home.
Well, yes, friends, once again, following that classic interview from 2018 with our dear friend Leroy Van Dyke, we are back here on the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show. I would like to just pay tribute to the golden age of country music vinyl and the career of Leroy Van Dyke as we salute this week's Vinyl Blast from the Vinyl Past. But as we do this, we must open the vinyl vault door once again. Now that the vinyl vault door is wide open, let's once again salute an all-time career recording by legendary Leroy Van Dyke, who celebrated his 95th birthday this past Friday. With that mentioned, let's turn back the years to 1962, one of the very classic and all-time favorite when it comes to Leroy Van Dyke and also country music, and a song titled If a Woman Answers. With that, I would like to play this all-time classic in honor of Leroy Van Dyke's 95th birthday, off the original LP vinyl record that I've got at the studio here today. With all its surface noise, and as our old friend Mr. Eddie Stubbs used to say, the bacon frying in the background. And by the way, isn't this opening line the greatest? Here he is, Leroy Van Dyke. Friends, once again, we have reached the end of the first hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show, and as we send us into the second hour of the Wayback Country Jamboree, I'd like to pay tribute to some more great classic gospel numbers to close out this first hour. First of all, it's going to be the legendary Browns, Jim Ed, Maxine, and Bonnie Brown, and their all-time favorite classic titled They Tore the Old Country Church Down. Then we're going to hear an all-time classic by, yes, Leroy Van Dyke once again, and the old-time religion Pigeon. With that, I will talk to y'all on the other side of the 9 o'clock hour, and I'd just like to say good morning to everybody listening in. Welcome in, friends, and happy Sunday.
Oh, they tore the old country church down, built a big new church way uptown, with a steeple so high it reaches to the sky, and pride has slipped in where love should have been. Oh, I long just once more to enter the door of that little humble church in the dell, where God's Spirit fell and He saved my soul from hell, in that little humble church over there. Oh, they tore the old country church down, built a big new church way uptown, with a steeple so high it reaches to the sky, and pride has slipped in where love should have been.
They no longer kneel and pray in the old-fashioned way. They just stand up there so very tall and proud.
They don't sing about the cross or the blood that Jesus lost in that big, big, big church way uptown. Oh, they tore the old country church down, built a big new church way uptown, with a steeple so high reaches to the sky, and pride has slipped in where love should have been.
There's nothing wrong with that church uptown. It's the members that let God down. If they'd humble themselves and pray, they would hear from God today in that big new church way uptown.
Oh, they tore the old country church down.
Good for Paul and Silas, it was good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, cause it's good enough for me. It was good for Mama and Papa, it was good for Mama and Papa, it was good for Mama and Papa, and it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody, makes me love everybody, makes me love most everybody, and it's good enough for me. Well, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion.
Who wouldn't listen to his ma when she told him he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, then pretty soon you'd find him at the local auction barn.
I'm a 25, 30, 30, 35, 35, and 40, who repeated it for Ohio. This is Leroy Van Dyke, the auctioneer. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodcock on the Wayback Country Jamboree. Stay with us, I know you're going to hear something like.
Dipped it on a bit and I'll be